chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Can you believe that it's May? Can you believe that it's the month of May? How many of you are still trying to get 2018 when you write those checks? And it just seems like time is flying by, that time is just going by so fast. And the days have been sped up, Brother Pruitt. I don't know exactly how it works, but it just seems like it's going faster and faster and faster. And I believe that the return of the Lord is very soon. It's very soon. We have a work to do. We have a work to do. Number one, I must be saved. Amen. Number one, you must be saved. We must be saved. Number two, our families must be saved. And number three, we've been called to reach our world. We've been called to reach the lost. Amen. I must be saved. I must reach my family. I must save my family. And then we've got to reach this world. Praise the Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Remember that, his ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. We're looking at great paradoxes of the Bible. This is lesson 6. And here's the title, Losing What We Never Had. Losing What We Never Had. Would you ask God to talk to us here tonight? Lord, we pray that your word would just come alive in our hearts and minds. And I pray that your anointing, God, would flow through this house, that your spirit would guide us and direct us, Lord, that you talk to us, Lord, minister to us here tonight. We give you the praise and the glory for what you want to do, Lord. We open our spirit to your word and let your anointing do a work in us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We've been looking at this series of sermons that have brought to light some powerful things in the Word of God, things that are necessary for us to learn if we want to be everything God's called us to be. And so these great paradoxes of the Bible are very revealing about the huge difference, the huge difference between man's way of thinking and God's way of thinking. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 declares, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. What's a paradox anyway? What is a paradox? It's a statement that gets attention because at first glance, it seems contradictory. Our natural response to a paradox is curiosity because we're puzzled at first glance. But if we'll look closer at the statement, we can go deeper into something important about life and learn something new. And paradoxes can be marvelous teachers, marvelous teachers. The Apostle Paul, he wrote a string of paradoxes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. He said, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now can you imagine when the people in the church of Corinth heard this letter read to them, they must have been pretty curious about what in the world is Paul saying to us? What is he writing to us? They probably wondered, how can we die and yet live at the same time? How in the world can we have sorrow yet always rejoice? And if I'm poor, how can I make others rich? And if I have nothing, how can I claim to possess everything? Paradoxes get our attention. They challenge our faith. They cause us to think a little deeper and to ask better questions. And paradoxes give us truths that if we'll act upon, it'll help us to grow out of spiritual children into the blessings of being a mature child of God. So far, we looked at five paradoxes. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The joyful fear of the Lord. Strength through weakness. The way up is down. Losing our life to save it. And so tonight, we're looking at this paradox from our text, Matthew chapter 15, verse 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And so here's the paradox tonight. Losing what we never had. Losing what we never had. Now, I've lost a lot of things. I've lost my wallet. Have you ever lost your keys? I've lost my cell phone multiple times. There was two different times that I have left my cell phone on the back bumper of my car. One time it fell off. The other time somehow it held on. But both times I was able to find it. We've all lost things. But we're looking tonight at losing something that we never had. Losing something that we never had. I wonder tonight, are you ready for the Lord to return? Are we ready for the Lord to return? And I say that, and I want it to sink in for just a moment, because that's a question we ought to ask ourselves every day. Several times a day. It's the most important thing we could ever consider. Am I ready for the Lord to return? More important than what we have to eat? More important than what we're going to wear, or more important than what we're going to do with the day off if we ever get one? It's more important than anything else in life. Are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Now, I remember some of those old-time services when I was a child, and they'd preach on hell, and they'd preach on the judgment of God, and they'd preach on the tribulation, and I tell you, people would flood the altar. And I was looking for the Lord to return. I'd come home from school, and Mama wouldn't be there. And Mama was always there when I got home from school. And I went to the phone, and yeah, I don't know if it was one of these phones. It might have been one of these phones, but it was connected to the wall. It had a cord, and y'all remember those, right? And I'd call every number I knew how to call. I'd call collect. I'd do whatever. But I tried to find Grandma. I tried to find somebody that was still on this earth so I could know the rapture didn't take place. Are we still looking for Jesus to come back? Because the day's approaching. It's coming very, very soon. You look around our world, you see the signs of the times. It is the time of the end time. The Lord is coming back. Are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? If we look in our text tonight, we see this parable of the talents. And there's three men. They're all three working for the same master. The first two are rewarded. The last one, he lost everything. He was unprofitable. He was cast into outer darkness. And so what does this story have to do with our lives today in the 21st century? We see that answer in the first verse of our text, Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. When Jesus returns, those who are ready, whether they're alive or whether they've already been buried, they're going to be taken up with him into heaven. And we're all going to stand before him at the judgment seat to give an account of how we've lived our life. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Do these words bring comfort? Those who have been faithful will receive a reward. But those who have not been faithful, there will be judgment. I hope that this brings comfort to us tonight. I hope that we can know that, God, I'm doing my best to be faithful. I'm doing my best to follow your word. I'm doing my best to bring you glory with my life so that one day we'll receive that reward. I tell you, if we're living and this doesn't bring comfort to us, then tonight before we leave this house, we need to let God work on our heart. We need to make some things right with him so that we can take comfort with this word of God. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we get so much of the flesh that I think we're so much in love with this world that we don't really look forward to heaven. I'm too comfortable living this life. I'm too comfortable with the stuff that God has blessed me with. I'm too comfortable with the blessings of that have been upon the United States of America. And I'm too, you know, sometimes we're too comfortable with the flesh. When you want to talk about heaven, well, I don't know if I'm just ready to go quite yet. And so when it says comfort one another with these words, we're not really sure about that. But sometimes we've got to get an old-fashioned time of fasting and prayer and push back from our flesh and push back from the things of this world so that things come into focus once again and we realize the most important thing is that I'm ready to make it to heaven. The most important thing is that I live every day of my life as if he's coming back. I don't know if he's coming back today, but I want to be ready if he comes back today. I want to be ready if he comes back tomorrow. It may be a few more years, but I want to live my life ready, because we don't know the day nor the hour. But God, help us to be a faithful servant who receives the reward when you return. And so this parable of the talents, it gives us some practical things we need to do if we're to be ready for him to come back. Today we use the word talent to describe skills and abilities of people. But in New Testament times, it was used to measure as a measure of money. A talent was equal to what an average person would earn in 1 year's time. A talent was equal to what an average person could earn in 1 year's time. That's quite a large sum of money. And so the master, it says that he distributed his goods there according to each servant's ability. There were some that had more ability than others, and it was a fair assignment. It was fair. If the servant with the one talent had earned another talent, he would have received the same reward as the other two. It's not our fault if we don't have the abilities that others have. God has given us all ability. He's given us gifts and talents, and we may have some abilities that others do not have, and we may be lacking in some areas that others have. Those talents just come naturally to them, but even in one family sometimes, it's interesting to see how two brothers can be vastly different, or two sisters can be just in opposite ends of the spectrum. And thank God, because if we were all the same, it'd be pretty boring. But sometimes we get to looking more at each other and the talents that God has given my brother and the talents that God has given my sister, and we start thinking, well, I don't have the same talents they have, and so I can't be used like they can be used, and so I might as well just go hide my talent. And that's not the will of God. The key for us to remember here is we don't need to get sidetracked wondering why we didn't get the talent that somebody else got. But instead, Lord, reveal to us our ability and reveal to us your plan for our life. Reveal to us our strengths. And Lord, help us to put them to work for the kingdom of God. The third servant made a tragic mistake. He made the mistake of thinking that he was not important because he'd only been given one talent. It said the master divided them according to the servant's ability. And so he must have assumed that he really didn't have much ability. He wasn't as blessed as the others with ability. And so he decided that he would not do anything at all. But if he would have invested and if he would have worked his one talent, he would have earned another one. And he would have had the same exact reward that the others had. Human nature always wants to start at the top. That's just human nature. Human nature doesn't realize that the way up is down. But rather, it's give me that supervisor job first. It doesn't matter if they've never done the job or have the experience. They just want to be in charge. If I could just be the one with five talents. But maybe they don't have the experience, and they don't have the ability. If we can be faithful, maybe we're just a one-talent person. But if we can be faithful with that one talent, if we can invest it for the kingdom of God, if we can work it for God's will and God's purpose in us, I tell you, if we can work that one talent for God's kingdom, we're going to receive a reward. But if we can't be faithful with one talent, how do we expect to be faithful with five? Help us, Lord. Matthew 25:21 reads, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And so we need to be willing to prove ourselves before we expect the reward. If we've got a job, be willing to do the job. Be on time to work. Get the responsibilities done. Do them right. Do them the way the boss wants them done. If we're faithful over a few things, God will open the door to many things. How many of you remember that song, and we've sang it here a time or two maybe, but little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it. If you go in Jesus' name. God, help us to be faithful in a little. God, help us to be faithful in what he has entrusted to us. And Lord, if you want us to have more, then we're going to believe you're going to open the door in the right time, in the right place. But until that time, I've got to be faithful with what you've given me. I've got to be faithful with what you've called me to do. I've got to be faithful with that one talent, Lord, or that two talents, or whatever it might be. And I'm going to focus on doing my best with what you've called me to do and what you've called me to be. Joseph was a faithful servant. Joseph was a faithful servant, not only in the house of Potiphar, but even in prison, when he could have said, I've been abandoned and I've been forgotten by God, and he could have given up, but Joseph, he was faithful. And he became the second ruler in the land. David, as a shepherd boy, he began small as that shepherd boy, but ultimately he became Israel's greatest king. If you read in the Word of God about Ruth, she was just a poor widow. She lived on the harvest that other people dropped, but she was faithful to her mother-in-law, and she ended up marrying one of the wealthiest men in the land. And she became one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ, because she was faithful. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to be lazy stewards over what he's entrusted to us, but he wants us to be faithful servants, working and investing what he's given to us, so that one day we'll be capable of doing even greater things for him. Wherever we find ourselves tonight, at whatever level in life, let's be faithful. Let's be trustworthy. Let's be honest. Let's be diligent. Let's take the gifts and the abilities that God has delivered to us and put them to work for the glory of God. And he will develop us, and he will give us the reward in time. How many of you have ever worked as an employee? All right. How many of you have, you've never worked as an employee before? Any employee soon learns, either the hard way or the easy way, that if they don't do what the boss wants them to do, they're not going to get a paycheck anymore. An employee that creates a problem for the boss, they may just not be an employee very long. If we look at this parable, it's easy to see that the third servant, he didn't have a great relationship with his boss. The servant said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, boss, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I submit to you tonight that this third servant, he really wasn't working with his heart. His heart really wasn't in it. He saw his master as a demanding man who took credit for the work that others were doing for him. And this servant is probably one of those servants that only worked when his master was watching. I remember a story that my grandfather told. There was a certain man that he had worked for, and my grandfather was on his lunch break, and some of the different workers were there, and they were sitting down, and the boss showed up. All of a sudden, all those other workers jumped up and got back to work, and my grandfather just sat there and finished his lunch. And the boss asked him, why didn't you jump up like all the rest of the guys did? Grandfather said, well, I've been working all the time you were gone, and now's my lunch break. The rest of the guys, I hadn't been working so much. They felt guilty. They just wanted to work when the boss was looking. Paul said in Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not just when the boss is looking, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. This unfaithful servant was probably one of those that, well, he just worked when the boss was looking, and the boss went away on a trip, and he thought, I'm just going to take it easy. That unfaithful servant, he was probably embarrassed that he only got one talent. He wasn't trusted with as much as the others. It might have been embarrassing to him, but think about it. It was a whole year's wages. It was a whole year's wages, and his master was being fair because he didn't have the ability that others had. He didn't even have the ability to manage one.
But the master gave him a chance. I wonder, is anybody here tonight really thankful that Jesus has given you a chance? Come on, come on. There's been some times I haven't been faithful. There's been some times that you haven't been faithful. But oh, I'm thankful that he gave me a chance. I'm thankful. I may just have been given one talent, but I'm thankful he gave me a chance. And I want to be faithful with it. I want to work. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to be pleasing unto him. Lord, thank you for giving me a chance. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. I thank you, Lord, for putting your name on me in baptism. I thank you, Lord, for covering me with your blood, for filling me with your spirit. You gave me a chance, Lord, and now I want to do my best for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We may not have deserved it, but he gave us a chance anyway. And we can do nothing without his help and without his strength. Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Without him we can't do anything. Without him we're lost. Without him we're helpless. Without him we have no strength. We have no power. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his blessings. Thank God for his blessings. Praise the Lord. The unfaithful servant didn't have a great relationship with his boss. And it showed. He despised his master. He really didn't want to work hard. He wanted a free ride. And so he cheated his master. And instead of being rewarded, he was punished. I want to tell you here tonight, this parable, it's so relevant. So relevant for the world we live in today, because that's exactly what many in this generation want. They don't want to work. They're looking for a free ride. They're willing to cheat the boss, getting paid for time they really haven't worked, and stealing on the job and giving away stuff that's not theirs to give away. You ever been at a restaurant and waiter or waitress says, oh, I won't charge you for that. You know, at first we're like, yeah, thanks. But it's not really theirs to give away. This generation, when they're caught doing something wrong, and when they're punished, it's everybody else's fault. It's not theirs. This third servant's a lot like today's generation. God, help us today to not be a part of this world, but help us to be called out of this world. Help us to stand out. Help us to stand apart. Come on, we're serving as unto the Lord. We're serving as unto the Lord. We should take responsibility for our actions, for our work. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a blessing to serve him. And we should give him our best. Whether it's at school or whether it's on the job or whatever it might be, we ought to think, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. But don't forget the verse right after that. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. When we're serving as unto the Lord, we can take responsibility and we can be faithful and we give him our best. Our heart is in it, and God blesses what we do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I believe tonight that apostolic workers ought to be the best workers there are. Apostolic students ought to be the best students in school, because we're not doing it for an earthly boss. We're not doing it for an earthly teacher. Amen. We're doing it for God. Hallelujah. Back to this unfaithful servant. Not only did he have the wrong attitude towards his master, but he had the wrong attitude toward the talent that his master had given him. Somewhere along the way, he got the idea that the talent was his. He thought the talent was his. He got the idea that he could just do with it whatever he wanted to do. Since he thought it was his, he figured it wouldn't matter if he just went and buried it in the dirt, because that's what he wanted to do with it. But we've got to remember tonight that everything we possess, everything that we've been given, it all comes from the Lord and it all belongs to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it, the fullness thereof, it all belongs to God. Everything we have, everything we possess, our mind, our body, our house, our furniture, our car, our clothes, our money, even our schedule, the days that we've been given, all of that comes from the Lord and they belong to the Lord. And we're just stewards that God has called us to be looking after His stuff. We're just stewards who've been given a little bit on this earth to look after, and we're to use what the Lord's given us to serve Him and to honor Him and to bring glory unto Him. We can't start thinking, this is mine. It's not ours. The servant thought the talent was his, so he buried it to protect it until the master came back. But he ended up having to give that talent away to the first servant with the 10 talents. Matthew 25:29, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. One translation says it like this, even his nothing shall be taken away. Even his nothing shall be taken away. And there's the paradox for us tonight. When we forget that what we've been given really isn't ours, but it's the Lord's, then our nothing, the thing that we thought was something, the thing that we thought we owned, the thing that we thought was ours, it's going to be taken away because it's really not ours in the beginning. Think with me about the examples in the Bible of those who thought they had something but really had nothing. And their nothing was taken away. King Herod in Acts chapter 12, verse 21, and upon a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He got lifted up in himself. He should have shut that down immediately and given glory to God. But he thought the glory belonged to him. He thought he'd take a little credit for himself. And he found out what he thought he had, he really didn't. And he lost what he never had. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a possession and kept back part of it for themselves. And they brought the rest to the apostles and they acted like they were giving the whole amount. Acts 5 and 3 reads, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. 3 hours later, Sapphira comes in after hitting the sale at Dillard's or TJ Maxx or whatever it was. And Acts 5, chapter 5, verse 8 says, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. They mistakenly thought that they had something, but they found that they really didn't when their nothing was taken away. We could go on and on and on. Cain thought he really had something when he brought an improper sacrifice to the Lord. Lot really thought that he'd arrived as one of the lead men in Sodom. Jezebel thought she was really something. Judas in the New Testament, he thought he'd make a few coins in betraying Jesus. They all thought they really had something, but they found out they really didn't when they lost what they never had.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. Such a powerful scripture. For if a man thinketh or think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. Let's not deceive ourselves today, thinking that we're something that we're not, so that we lose what we never really had in the beginning. It's not our talent. It's not our abilities. It's not ours at all. It's God's. It all belongs to God. It all came from God. He's the one that gave it to us. He's the one that we're supposed to use it for. He's the master. We're just the servant. And He's given us this talent. He's given us these gifts. He's given us this ability for a little time and a little space. And He's trying to see, are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be a faithful steward? Are we going to use it for His glory? Or are we going to try to hold on to it for our own gain? The unprofitable servant thought that his master was hard to work for. Matthew chapter 25, verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He was motivated by fear and not by faith. He was motivated by fear and not by faith. Maybe he thought about investing it. Maybe he considered, maybe I should invest this, but then fear took hold of him, and he thought, well, what if my investment fails and I lose it all? Maybe he thought, you know what? What if this talent is stolen from me and I don't have anything to show for it? And, well, I'm just going to go bury it where nobody can find it. Maybe he considered using that talent and putting it to work by going out and buying seed and trying to grow a harvest. But then fear set in and he thought, well, what if the locusts come? What if they eat it up? Or what if there's not enough rain? Or what if there's too much rain? And then what is my master going to do to me? But it was his fear. It was his fear that gave him an excuse to be unfaithful. If he just worked as hard as the other two, he would have been rewarded. But because he was afraid of his master, afraid of failure, he did nothing. And in doing nothing, he experienced his master's anger anyway. It's been said that the person who is good at excuses is rarely good at anything else. Isn't that the truth? The person good at excuses is rarely good at anything else. This servant, instead of admitting his mistakes, instead of changing his ways, he blamed his master, he blamed his fear, and it caused him to lose what he never really had. Fear's not always a bad thing. There's sometimes fear's good. The fear of the Lord. Kids have to be taught a fear of fire. They have to be taught to fear a hot stove. We need to have a fear of running out in front of a car. We need to have a proper fear of heights. I think I went a little overboard in that area. A fear of sharp things, a fear of strangers. But fear that holds us back from the will of God is an enemy that will defeat us and keep us from the promises and the blessings of God. God, help us to face the future with faith and not with fear. Praise the Lord. I wonder if you'd stand with me tonight, and I wonder if you just lift your hands and say, God, I want to be a profitable servant. I want to be a faithful servant. Help me, Lord, to face the future with faith.
Help me, Lord, to overcome fear and help me to face the future with faith, to do what you've called me to do, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, don't let me be overcome with fear, but help me, Lord, help my faith to be strengthened tonight so that I can do something for you, oh God. Lord, whatever you've given me, it's not my own. It's not something that I possess, but Lord, it's yours, and I want to use it. I want to be a good steward as you have called me to be in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. God, I pray that you would help our faith. I pray that you would speak faith to every life here tonight. I pray that you would let faith, Lord, let that be the driving purpose behind everything we do, is faith in God and faith in your word and faith in your promises. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If we can lay our will down, if we can lay our flesh down and get in the will of God for our lives, then we can be in the safest place there is in the whole world. When we're in God's will, we don't have a reason to be afraid. We may be crossing the Red Sea. We may be in a ship in the middle of a storm. We may be thrown into a fiery furnace. But if we're in the will of God, we're safe. Some of you can relate. You're in that fiery furnace. You're in that ship in the middle of a storm. But I charge you tonight to pray, God, let your will be done in my life. Let me be right in the middle of your will. And even if I'm in the middle of the storm, God, if I know I'm in the middle of your will, then I'm going to trust you and I'm going to keep serving you and I'm going to keep faithful. I'm going to keep doing what you called me to do. I'm not giving up, Lord, but if I'm in your will, I know I'm going to be safe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Psalm 27 and 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 34 and 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on, we need to rebuke fear in this house right now. I don't want to live by fear. I don't want to walk by fear, but God, help us to walk by faith. Help us to stand in faith. Help us to live by faith. Come on, there's a work to do before Jesus comes back. And he's given you talent, and he's given you ability, and he's given you gifts. Don't you turn back with fear, but keep pressing forward with faith. And let's see God do a great thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. At the close of this service, I wonder if we could come to this altar and just take that step of faith and say, God, I'm putting my life right back in the middle of your will. Maybe I've strayed a little bit. Maybe I've made some mess ups along the way. But I want to come to this altar tonight and say, God, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And then, Lord, when I'm in your will, everything that we have, everything that we've been given, it's not ours. It's God's. He's just given it to us to use for his glory. And Lord, if I'm in the middle of your will, I pray that you would take this talent. I pray that you would take this ability. Come on, God's given you abilities in this house. You have some abilities that nobody else around you has. God gave them to you for a purpose. Don't hold them back in fear. Don't bury them in fear. But let God open the doors and use that talent. Use that ability for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, help us to realize it's not ours, Lord. It's not ours. We don't own it. We don't possess it. You just gave it to us for a time. You gave it to us for a season. Help me, Lord, to be a faithful steward. Help me, Lord, to be a profitable servant. Help me, Lord, to do your will. In Jesus' name.